Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And when we started our show yesterday on Monday morning at right around 5:30, we were mentioning what a rough weekend it was in the city of Chicago, and we didn't have final numbers. And I always tell you early in the morning when it comes to shootings, whether it's here in New Orleans or in Chicago, they're kind of like television ratings. They say, well, we have the overnight ratings, but the complete ratings aren't in yet. The complete numbers aren't in yet. And yesterday morning, when we were talking about all the shootings in Chicago, it was in the 80s. I think I said 86 people got shot or it was something like that, but the final numbers weren't in. Well, the final numbers are in now.
Oh, boy.
Weekend shootings. Just weekends. Just Friday till early Monday morning, early yesterday morning in the city of Chicago, 104 people were shot. That's incredible. And between Friday and early Monday morning, 14 dead. Including one of the saddest, a three-year-old child was going home with his father from the barber shop and a stray bullet hit the three-year-old and killed the three-year-old. There was a young girl, too, who was shot in her own home. There were out of these 104 people that were shot, some of them were actually in their own homes just watching television, relaxing, and a stray bullet just came into their homes. And this is pretty much in one area of Chicago, the south side of Chicago. And, you know, when you see 104 people shot, you would think that a lot of people would be up in arms about it, talking about it, but no. You know, like I said yesterday morning, I was on the website of the Chicago Sun-Times, which is a local paper. That's where I am again this morning, just looking. But not many people are even talking about it. It's barely news. And it's not just this weekend. Every weekend in the south side of Chicago, there are big numbers. You can go back and you could see 70-something last weekend. 80-something people 2 weekends ago. But this weekend, this past weekend, 104 people shot. You know, a couple of weekends ago here in New Orleans, now we don't have nearly as many people as Chicago. Chicago is the third largest city in America. But we had, 21 people shot over a couple of weekends ago. Over the course of a weekend here in New Orleans, and we only have upwards of 400,000 people who live in the city, but you start doing the numbers, and it's like, wow, it hardly makes any news.
And that's the thing. Just imagine.
Hardly makes any news, Coleman.
Just imagine 104 people. That's that's like you're in a mall, you know, back before the coronavirus. Just think about all the people that's in the mall and how many people can fill up a mall, and just imagine all of them being shot at one over a course of a weekend. Like 104 people, dude. 104, not 14. That's triple digits.
Yet, two cops, pull a passed out drunken driver out of his car in a drive-through, Wendy's drive-through. They give him a DUI test, which he fails. They try to put the cuffs on him. They say, turn around, put your hands behind your back. He then starts fighting with them. He takes them to the ground. He takes a taser off one of them, starts running away, turns around, fires the taser at one of them. Then one of the cops shoots him twice in the back and kills him. That's all we hear about.
Yeah.
Everything that particular guy did wrong, drinking and driving, passing out in the Wendy's drive-thru, failing the breathalyzer test, fighting the cops. I mean, when was the last time you fought a cop?
I have never.
Punching a cop, taking him down to the ground, taking his taser off of him, then running away. It's all people are talking about. That's all that you see on the news, to the point where they burned down the Wendy's. And the Wendy's were in the parking lot where it happened. What did that Wendy's ever do? That's all we hear about on every channel. People are writing, yet 104 people are shot over the course of a couple of days in Chicago, including a three-year-old boy who's with his father walking home from a barbershop, a young girl just sitting in her living room, and we don't hear boo.
Right. Meanwhile, in Minnesota, one of the cops who posted bail can't even go shopping without it making the rounds on social media. Yet, they're outraged about him. They don't want him to get his Oreo cookies and milk after he did everything legally. Like, he bonded out. He's going through the system. You know, he's going to face his day in court. But 104 people in Chicago shot. Nobody says anything.
Nothing. Nothing. Yeah, we played that audio from the Minneapolis grocery store yesterday.
Yeah, he can't even go shopping. They recognized him. He can't.
One of the Minneapolis cops who is bonded out, and they're chasing him around up there. So it's something. This little three-year-old boy didn't do anything except for go home from the barbershop with his father, and he was killed. He's three, and I haven't heard a word about it. I guess it all depends on who does the shooting.
Right.
Because if one demographic does the shooting, it doesn't make news. It has to be a certain demographic that does the shooting for it to make the news, the national news. So those were the final weekend numbers in Chicago. And you know, it's the summer's here. It's getting warm. People don't have jobs because of the coronavirus still. Look for these numbers. I don't want to say to get bigger, my God, but Jesus. 104 people shot in the south side of Chicago over the weekend, and 14 of them died, but still 104 people shot. It's mind-numbing. And just like it was here a couple of weeks ago in New Orleans when 21 people were shot.
Dude, 104, that's a skirmish on a battlefield of war. You know what I'm saying? That's, I mean, wow.
It's something, Coleman. All right, coming up on the show, did you see our governor here in Louisiana, John Taco Bell Edwards? He had a press conference yesterday. He made a speech, and he says the state of Louisiana will not be moving from phase two to phase three. We're staying in phase two for at least the next 28 days. Damn it. Damn it. Because of the coronavirus, there are some more cases, which there are because we're testing more. But stay tuned for that. We have a lot to do on the show today. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. And late night host Jimmy Kimmel, I believe, has done his last show. He hasn't been fired yet, though the other day he said, I'm taking the summer off. I need a couple of months off, he said. And this is in the wake of things that he did in his past coming back, coming out.
Again.
Well, blackface.
I mean,
to be more specific, right. Holman. And there are a few instances here with Jimmy Kimmel. And you know, Jimmy Kimmel at this point is so politically correct that the things he did in his past to get to this point are so politically incorrect. I don't know how the guy sleeps at night. I don't know how he looks at himself in the mirror and doesn't say, oh my God. And there are several instances of Jimmy Kimmel, some say being racist. Now, others would say it was just him doing comedy at a different time and place here in America. But their videos are coming back of him doing blackface, him doing in blackface an impersonation of Karl Malone, where he was in the former NBA player,
mm-hmm.
where Jimmy Kimmel wasn't just looking like Karl Malone in blackface, but he was using a voice that is now being termed as racist. He also did blackface while playing an Oprah Winfrey character. He called the character Oprah Jimfrey. He wore a fat suit, used blackface, and he used a Latino maid as a workout mat. He also said the N-word several times in doing a song parody. He impersonated Snoop Dogg when he did that for a radio show out in Los Angeles in I believe, 1996.
Mm-hmm.
There were several instances. And like I said, now the guy is so politically correct that looking back at this stuff, it horrifies people. What's interesting is the other late night talk show host named Jimmy Fallon, about a month ago, we talked about it on the show. He came out and apologized when an old bit he did when he was on Saturday Night Live, where he did blackface and he was impersonating Chris Rock. And that came back, and Jimmy Fallon jumped out right ahead of it and said, I was wrong. Thanks for calling me out on that. Yeah, it was awful what I did. But he's still going to work every night. When some of this stuff started resurfacing recently with Jimmy Kimmel, the other Jimmy mm-hmm. late night host, he said, I need to take the summer off. And people are saying he needs to apologize, but even if he does that now, I mean, I can't see him coming back. In the world we're living in right now, Coleman, in 2020 America, as we sit here on June 23rd in the year 2020, I can't see how Jimmy Kimmel survives this.
And let it be known, that's a standard that they set for themselves. Because when Jimmy, like to me as a comedian, you know, I used to do stand-up comedy last year. I had to stop because I got a new job. But I get it. He's just impersonating people. Jimmy Fallon impersonating a certain person, or whether it's Jimmy Kimmel impersonating Snoop Dogg, Karl Malone, it's not necessarily that they're putting on blackface to be racist or offensive. They're just trying to get into the character.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Tyler Perry does when he does the Madea bits, Robin Williams when he does Mrs. Doubtfire. You're just getting into the character. It's not necessarily like you're trying to be purposely racist. You know what I'm saying?
But Tyler Perry can do that because he's black.
But that's
Robin Williams could do that because he was imitating a white woman.
Right, just like the Wayans brothers did that movie White Chicks, where they dressed up in whiteface. Like, if you're trying to play a character, just because you're playing a character or you're trying to imitate somebody or impersonate somebody of a different color, gender, it doesn't necessarily mean you hate that color, you hate that gender. Are you trying to be racist or sexist against them? You're just getting into character.
And it shows you how much times have changed in the last 20 years, because evidently 20 years ago, people thought that was funny. And then over in between the year 2000 and in between 1996 and now,
mm-hmm.
suddenly it's not funny, even though they're just getting into character. They're not doing it to be racist, though it is looked at now as racist.
Full disclosure, when I was doing the show prep, I actually listened to the Snoop Dogg parody song that he did. And when he was imitating Snoop Dogg, Jimmy Kimmel, I laughed. I get it. It was, yeah, he used the N-word a couple of times, but I guess I have so much tough skin that I can see past that, and I found the humor in it. And he actually, for that time, he did a good job imitating Snoop Dogg. It sounded like Snoop Dogg.
Well, you're a lot like me. Pretty much nothing offends me. But that now, so many things are offensive to people, and because of social media and the internet, they let you know about it quick, and
at some point, they just have to stuff it.
But when he was doing Snoop Dogg, you know, he was doing the black voice.
Right. If I was to imitate a white person, I would do a white one, just like Dave Chappelle does in his skits. It's like when you're trying to get into character, you have to get into the character.
Well, it used to be imitation. Now they just plain and simply call it racism.
So I guess from this point on, every comedian, whenever they do a bit, they can only imitate or impersonate somebody of their own gender and race, because if you do something opposed to the gender or the race, then you're sexist or racist from this point. I guess that's the new rules, right?
Well, Coleman, we've talked about it on this show a few times, how there are several stand-up comedians, Jerry Seinfeld being one of them, even though he doesn't seem to go to those places. Him and other stand-up comedians said they'll never play college campuses again. You know, the college campuses used to be a great place for stand-up comedians to play. But now the generation of kids that are in college now, they're so easily offended by so many things. They need safe spaces on the college campus. They need a part of the campus, like in a parking lot somewhere, where they can go and just stand and to be offended and to be a safe space and so they won't be offended. That's why they'll go stand in the quote unquote safe space.
Well, clearly it's bleeding out of college. It's not just in the general public now.
Yeah.
So,
but I'd be shocked if you ever saw Jimmy Kimmel hosting that show again. But he needs to do what Jimmy Fallon did, what the other Jimmy did, and he needs to jump out in front of it. But there's a lot more instances of Jimmy Kimmel doing this kind of stuff than there was of Jimmy Fallon. And maybe he doesn't know how to deal with it other than saying, I need 2 months off. And I think he's done his last show.
And the future's going to be so bland and boring. He can't do anything.
Well, there's another thing we've talked about on the show. Will the next generation say, wait a minute, what was all this political correctness? Was that really racist or was that a comedic bit? Who knows? Who knows where the future is going to go? But it's incredible how over the course of 20 years, so much has changed. Things that people used to laugh at and think were funny, now they're offended by and they think are racist. At least enough people are.
Yeah, I've seen a little Netflix, a little warning symbol they're going to start putting. It's called Outdated Attitudes. They're going to take older movies and put a disclosure. Outdated Attitudes warning, just in case, because of how different the attitudes were when those movies were being made.
Yeah, if you want to text us, I mean, again, I'd be shocked if Jimmy Kimmel ever does another late night show. I mean, if you think he warrants being gone, text us. If you think that people are overreacting from this stuff, you could text us as well. Let us know how you feel. 504-260-9595. Keep them short and sweet. Please don't text while you drive. And if your text is good, put your first name or your initials at the end of it. And if it adds to the show, we'll read it. Coming up on the show, the state of Louisiana, we're stuck in phase two of reopening the economy. We're going to be stuck in phase two, not moving to phase three for at least another 28 days. That sucks. And I got a few stories about things that happened in New Orleans over the weekend that had people upset when it came to not paying attention to the coronavirus. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. According to a new study, drinking beer can improve your concentration. How about that? Researchers now believe that a cure for ADHD is PBR. And I'm not surprised that beer, which I love, I don't drink as much of it these days as I used to, but I'm not that surprised that beer can help improve your concentration. I notice when I drink beer, I stay focused right up until the moment I pass out. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it looks like today at some point, the CHOP. Well, the CHOP is chapped. That's the Capitol Hill organized protest. CHOP in Seattle.
Oh, you mean Chaz?
Well, it used to be called Chaz Coleman. It used to be Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone.
Okay.
But then they changed the name to CHOP, Capitol Hill Organized Protest. And they took over, when they started, they took over, it was about seven square blocks of Seattle, and a part of downtown Seattle, Washington, including one police precinct. The cops just left. Now, they didn't burn that police precinct like the folks in Minneapolis, Minnesota burned that one police precinct, but they did have the cops leave one precinct. Now, the mayor told them to leave, and the cops didn't want to leave the precinct, and I know for a fact the Seattle police officers were not happy about this whole thing, but the mayor of Seattle let them have their fun for a few days. At first, it was seven city blocks, but then the cops came in about a week, week and a half ago, and they cut it in half to about three and a half city blocks. And they said, okay. And the problem was they were keeping the police out. And what's interesting is they set up, they put up basically a fence around their area, and they were walking around with guns. They were exercising their Second Amendment right. But what's funny about that is, wait a minute, the first thing you did, you put up a border wall and you had guns to protect your what's behind your border fence, your border wall. Interesting. But the people that lived and worked around there were not happy because cops couldn't get in and out of there. Not only that, but traffic really couldn't get in and out of there. It wasn't good for businesses around there. And the people who lived around there, they said during the day it was one thing. That's what the cameras and that's what they were showing the world during the daytime. But once the nighttime came and it got late at night, many of the people that lived around there in that neighborhood said they were afraid to walk the streets. And
yeah, they were asking people to show them their papers at night, like just generally walking around to make sure they weren't from outside of the autonomous zone. They're like, show me your papers. Sounds pretty familiar.
So with a border wall, border fence, guns, and guards saying, let me see your papers. That's what CHOP, the Capitol Hill Organized Protest, was. You know, if you go back a few years, do you remember the Occupy movement? It started Occupy Wall Street.
Yep.
But then Occupy Wall Street in New York. It started going to different cities. It actually came down here for a little while in New Orleans. I remember they set up in front of Duncan Plaza. They were going to the bathroom right there. I walked by one day. It stunk. It reminded me of when the old band The Grateful Dead used to tour around America, how people would just follow them and set up in a park right near the arena where they were playing, and they had their own kind of lifestyle. They had their own currency, their own food, that kind of thing. But it's coming to an end because over the last couple of days, a couple of people got shot. One person was killed. And so the mayor, Jenny Durkin, Seattle mayor, announced yesterday that city officials are going to end the whole Capitol Hill organized protest situation. They let it go on long enough. And
that was the most surprising thing about that, meaning that they could have stopped this at any point in time they wanted. They had the manpower.
Of course they could have.
So, see, they
Coleman, do you think the police wanted to leave that precinct?
But here's what it is. The media made it seem like these guys were tough. They weren't letting people in or out. You know, they made it seem like they had some sort of resistance or something, like they can fight back or defend it a little six blocks. That's what the media made it seem like. Like it was a problem for the city to grab those blocks back. That's why I thought it took so long. I didn't know that they could have done it at any point in time.
They could have done it any time they wanted to.
Somebody needs to be held accountable for that. Meaning you could have broke all this up. Somebody has to compensate the businesses that probably lost businesses because they let it go on for this long.
Mm. And I bet you it smells funky over there at this point, too. Because, you know, you one thing you don't see, I mean, how do people take showers and things like that?
That's probably what they use the precinct for. Use the cop showers in the cop's bathroom.
Yeah, well, I know for a fact the Seattle cops are happy to, they're going to be happy to get their precinct back. And, because they never wanted to leave it in the first place. And the people who live and work in that area in downtown Seattle, they're going to be happy when this little demonstration is all broken up. I think they're going to break it up today.
So where are the people that were in the chat going to go?
Back to their mothers and fathers. Yeah,
back to the basement.
Back to the attic, the basement. Yeah, that's where they're going to go. All right, coming up here on the show, yesterday, our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, did you see his press conference? We're not advancing from phase two to phase three in our reopening of the Louisiana economy. Damn it! And I've got a couple of stories about what happened in New Orleans over this past weekend that I saw. That got some people upset when it came to the whole coronavirus situation. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. We don't play very many cover songs here on Bayou, but that was a cover song, Jimi Hendrix covering Bob Dylan. Since today's Tuesday, let's do a twofer of cover songs. Two for Tuesday starts after our show, but here's another cover song. Van Halen covering the Kinks on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterland Morning Show. And yesterday, our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, had a press conference, and he said that as a state, we're extending phase two of the reopening. I know, it sucks. You suck. Of the reopening of the state of Louisiana for at least 28 more days. So we're not moving into the much less restricted phase three of the reopening. So we got to stay phase two and for upwards of another month now. And the governor said he's exploring enforcement options for non-compliant businesses.
Oh, so it's even worse than we thought.
Well, Coleman, you know, you live over on the West Bank. I live here in the city, and it's like two different worlds.
Yes, it is. You know, don't snitch. I don't want them coming on our side with that foolishness.
It's always been like two different worlds when you on each end of the Crescent City Connection Bridge. But even more so now, because here in New Orleans, things are very strict. You can't walk into most places without a mask on. And that's not just because the people look at you funny, but that's what our city government tells us. But yet, you drive over the Crescent City Connection Bridge out to the West Bank, and people are running around in and out of businesses. No, hardly anybody's wearing a mask, right?
Yeah, just like normal for the most part. See, we was talking about this yesterday. We was trying to speculate what would happen. You predicted we're not going to go to phase three. I thought maybe he'll meet us halfway and we go to like a phase 2.5 where we don't actually go all the way to phase three. We'll kind of just go halfway to phase three.
Yeah, I'm looking right here. I don't see 2.5 on the page. I see a phase one, which we already got through, phase two, which we're in now, phase three, and then phase four. I'm looking around here. I don't see any phase 2.5.
But now it seems like we're regressing. We're going to remain in phase two, but with more restrictions. So that's like phase 1.8.
Look, and I just read where they said 80% of the coronavirus cases went undetected in the month of March.
Mm-hmm.
80%.
Yeah.
So and we've been saying that all along, how tons of people have already had it and got better from it without even knowing it.
Exactly. So that diminishes the fatality rate. The more people that you realize got it, the when it goes to the rate of death, you're starting to realize, dude, we're like at 99% of people that recover. That means most of the people that had it didn't die. The vast majority of the people that got the coronavirus went about their lives like nothing happened. They didn't even know they had it.
Yeah, Coleman.
We were meant to believe this is the worst thing ever.
So on one side of the Crescent City Connection Bridge on the West Bank, people are running around with no masks, going in and out of places. Here, on this side of the bridge in New Orleans, you need a mask to do anything. And as a matter of fact, there were a couple of big parties over the last few days. And they're saying that those parties have spread COVID-19. There was a party right near where I live in the Warehouse District this past Saturday night. I walked by it. There was at a short-term rental at an Airbnb type of place on Barone Street here in New Orleans. That party got shut down. There was around 100 people that were in. Nobody, hardly anyone was wearing a mask. The music was cranking. Neighbors were calling to get. I don't know if it was a Karen or. And by the way, if it's a guy that calls the cops on people, they're trying to come up with a guy name.
I have a few ideas.
We're gonna. That's coming up in an hour. What do we call the guys who are entitled, who are obnoxious, and who will call the cops on people? Because the name for the women that do that is Karen.
Right.
So we need a name for a guy coming up. But right near where I live, I mean, this party was big, and the cops showed up and broke it up. And then uptown, there was a party, a graduation party for some student who was graduating from Newman High School. Newman. There was a big graduation party. And they're saying that party, along with the party on Barone Street, probably, if not definitely, spread the coronavirus like crazy.
You notice that when they call them super spreaders, events where there's a lot of people.
Yeah, these are two super spreader parties.
You ever notice that the super spreader, the super spreader is all fun, is all easy, the bars or parties, but when it comes to protests or going to the store at Lowe's, they don't consider those super spreaders. Why is it fun is associated with the spread? You get the same amount of people at Walmart and then the same amount of people at a graduation party. The graduation party where everybody's having fun, that's the one that's looked at. Where you have people having drinks over here but eating over there. The one where it's having drinks, that's the super spread. It seems like fun is the common denominator. When you see people having fun like at a second line, oh, all of a sudden it's super spreading. But when you see people just gathering and they looking all down and out, well, don't bother those people. They're not having fun. So the virus spreads through fun, seems like.
Yeah, if you're serious when you're in your mass get-together, your mass gathering. If you're serious, that's okay.
Yeah, if you're at a library or something.
You can be a serious super spreader. You can't be a fun super spreader.
Right, that's what it is.
And that's
it's
what
the fun.
That's what we're learning. You invited me to a super spreader party, too, not long ago, over on the West Bank. So I just got to remember that, though, when I'm on this side of the bridge, on the New Orleans side of the Crescent City Connection Bridge, I always have to have my mask with me in my pocket, mm-hmm. or I can't go into a store and buy a can of pop.
Yeah, you come to my side, you can high five, shake hands, give hugs, knock yourself out.
Yeah,
nobody cares.
Not only don't you need masks over there, you barely need clothes. So anyways, that's what's going on. So we're still in phase two, and we will be now until mid late July.
My thoughts are with you, John.
Damn it! Yeah, coming up on the show, we got to come up with a name for the male version of Karen. What do you think about that? Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Today is National Hydration Day. Got to stay hydrated. Experts say if you struggle to drink the recommended 8 glasses of water a day, try mixing it with booze. We're on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Do you see who died yesterday? Filmmaker Joel Schumacher. He passed away at the age of 80. He directed Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, but hopefully he will be remembered for the good things he did. But Joel Schumacher made some really good movies. He made Falling Down.
Yes, with Michael Douglas.
That was a fantastic movie. And he also made a couple of movies out of John Grisham books. A Time to Kill was really good. The Client was really good. He made The Lost Boys as well. I loved The Lost Boys when I was younger. He made St. Elmo's Fire right before that with the Brat Pack. And he was actually, before he got the opportunity to be a director, he was a film writer. And he wrote a bunch of that movie, Car Wash. That's some funny stuff.
The car wash. Yeah,
that's some right. funny stuff. But then he, he made some good movies. I liked Phone Booth. Did you ever see Phone Booth?
I haven't seen that one though.
That's the one where Colin Farrell was stuck in the phone booth and Kiefer Sutherland was.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing the. I haven't seen the movie, but I do remember the movie. I remember the trailer. Yeah.
So Joel Schumacher, he made some really good movies, and then he admits he actually apologized for one of his Batman movies, I think the George Clooney one.
He should have apologized for that, yes.
I think he later went on to apologize for that, but it's a big gig. You know, when you become a name, like a big name as a Hollywood director, you're a filmmaker, you know, you got one of these big studios investing so much money, millions and millions and millions of dollars in
$1 million.
A lot more than that. But they're investing so much money in you to then make a great movie. And so RIP Joel Schumacher, although he hadn't made a movie in 9 years. His last movie was Trespass. I never saw that one.
Me neither.
I haven't seen that one. And speaking of Batman, yesterday, news broke that Michael Keaton is going to be Batman again. And no, not Batman's father or Batman's grandfather or Batman's uncle. He's going to be Batman again, Michael Keaton. Probably the most popular Batman, right, in the Batman movie franchise?
Yeah, in mainstream media, but if you go to the nerd conventions like I do, it's Kevin Conroy. He does the voices for all the animated and video game Batmans, which is a lot better than the live-action ones.
Mm. Well, Michael Keaton will be back as Batman, and I saw a couple of people on the internet talking about that yesterday, and it brought me back to a time that I miss, a simpler time in America. Do you remember when people freaked out on the internet when Ben Affleck
was named
to be the next Batman? Wasn't that a simpler life here in America? When people used to freak out on the internet about who's going to be the next Batman, when you see what people are freaking out on the internet about on a daily, on a hourly, on a minutely basis.
Yeah, look, to my credit, though, I was right. He didn't do a good job as Batman when it was all said and done, in my opinion.
Yeah, Coleman. Boy, I miss the simpler time in American life when people could just freak out over who's going to be the next Batman.
They did it when Joaquin Phoenix was playing a Joker. They're like, what? Then who's going to top Heath Ledger? Then Joaquin Phoenix came out and smashed it. Everybody forgot about Jared Leto. He tried to play the Joker in one movie. That bombed, but yeah.
Boy, I miss those simpler times. I can't wait for the time when we can get back to freaking out on the internet who's going to be the next Batman instead of what everybody seems to be freaking out about. Hey, coming up on the show, if you could think of a male name for a Karen, that's a middle-aged white person who is obnoxious and entitled and who calls the police on people. We have the female name Karen. If you can think of a male name, you could text it to us at 260-9595. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. We were just talking about how Michael Keaton is going to be Batman again. And no, not Uncle Batman. Michael Keaton is Uncle Batman. No, he's back. He's going to be Batman again. And have you seen Jamie Foxx? Have you seen any pictures of him on the internet? He is jacked. He's ripped.
I did see that.
Because Jamie Foxx will portray Mike Tyson in an upcoming biopic about the former boxing champ. Now, Jamie Foxx is a method actor, which is why before shooting begins, he will undergo a lobotomy. He really wants to get into the role. That should be pretty good, though. Hey, text us, what should be the male name for Karen? We've got some good ones coming in. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. The name Karen has become so much more than a name here in America. Karen is the name that has been given to middle-aged white women who are entitled and obnoxious and call the police and call security and rat people out.
And want to speak to the manager.
And Karens want to speak to the manager. I guess it's a fitting name. And Karen seemed to have that specific Karen haircut as well. Kind of like a reverse mullet where it's short in the back and on the sides, but it's kind of longer in front. I guess it's a fitting name.
Yes, it fits perfectly.
Karen. Although, and we brought this up on the show a few weeks back, might have been a month or two ago when we talked about this. You know, there's feminists out there that say Karen is the K word. How dare you call women that? All you're trying to do is shut them up and put them in the back seat and have them not speak their minds. How dare you? The feminists weren't happy with the advent of the Karen moniker.
Have you ever seen a happy feminist?
I really haven't. Not too many happy-go-lucky feminists out there. Good point, Coleman. Wait, you mean 10 or 20 years from now, I'm going to, if I'm lucky enough to still be on the radio, I'm going to be like Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon looking back 20 years ago saying, well, I used the K word. You know, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to do it. I'm not the one that came up with it. But, you know, there was a time in our history when there were middle-aged white women with a certain haircut running around calling the cops on everybody. And they got the moniker Karen. Well, it got us to thinking, what would be the male name for a Karen? Are there many guys out there? You would think they would be younger guys, because you don't think older guys would give two craps to take the time to call the police on people if he didn't like what they were doing. But what would be a male version of Karen? If there was a guy walking around acting like a Karen, what would we call him?
Well, George Carlin had an idea.
And I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd. You know, yeah, it's a goofy name, okay? Hi, what's your name?
Todd. I'm Todd. And this is Blake and Blair and Blaine and Brent.
Where are all these goofy boys' names coming from? Taylor, Tyler, Jordan, Flynn. These are not real names. You want to hear a real name? Eddie. Eddie is a real name. Whatever happened to Eddie? He was here a minute ago. Joey and Jackie and Johnny and Phil, Bobby and Tommy and Danny and Bill. What happened?
Todd. And Cody and Dylan and Cameron and Tucker.
There's another soft name for a boy, Kyle. Soft names make soft people. I'll bet you anything that 10 times out of 10, Nikki, Vinny, and Tony will beat the shit out of Todd, Kyle, and Tucker.
Well, if George Carlin was alive today, he'd be freaking out with some of the names out there. How about Caden and Braden and Aiden and Jaden? And it makes me just want to bang my head against the wall.
You know what? I agree with you 100%. Every time I hear a boy's name, Caden, I think, what was the mom thinking? And there's a lot of them, dude. It's a real popular name.
Yeah,
Caden and Jaden.
Yeah, it got really popular. But we asked you to text us at 504-260-9595. What would be a male Karen?
Well, of course, the most popular one we have is Chad, but there's also Byron. Joe says Byron. There's Kyle, like George Carlin said. March Fire says Kenny. There's also Karn and Colin. Somebody tested.
What was the one you just said before?
Karn. K-A-R-N.
I've never heard that. Oh, Karn and Karen?
Yeah. Mr. Walker, like from Fear. Stuart. I don't agree. Steven. I think Steve's a cool name. Ralph, Matt. And my favorite one, Dick.
Dick and Karen.
Dick and Karen, yes.
I've had some people shoot me names on Facebook. A few people have said Kevin.
Yeah, we got a few Kevins on here.
Kevin and Karen. Look, I know some Kevins, and I work with a couple of Kevins. I like the Kevin I work with, actually.
Yeah, actually... Kevin is the third most popular one that we got from the text message. Kevin.
With Kevin and Karen. How about Frank?
No, Frank's cool, man. Like, Frank's a hard name.
Yeah, Frank. I don't think Frank would call the cops.
Yeah.
Frank would just tell people to go bleep themselves and keep walking down the street.
Frank is beefy, you know?
Yeah, if you have any male name for Karen, Kyler,
that's a real name. Kyler, you know what it is? I broke it down. What it is when women name their babies, they're not thinking that they're going to be men in the future. They're thinking about cute baby names. So they're like, oh, it's cute. It's going to be a Kyler or a Tyler or a Flynn. But they're not thinking these men are going to grow up to be 40 and have jobs. Imagine Caden, please come to the office.
Name a man.
You know, name your son Butch. Name him something that they're going to have to live the rest of their lives with. When you name a baby name, you forget that they're going to grow up and be men. So name men. Don't name boys.
Gus.
Gus is an awesome name. Gus, Duke, Dutch.
You know? I don't think Flynn's that bad.
You don't think so? It just has a little floaty, flying, feathery feel to it.
How about Gary?
Gary's pretty cool. Gary can go Karen. Either way.
Well, if you could think of a male name for a Karen, remember, it's a middle-aged white guy who is who's obnoxious, entitled, and he calls the cops on people.
Coleman.
Ah, Coleman? You're a black guy.
There's some black Karens out there, but I'm not one of them.
It's funny, when I saw your application for a job, I thought you were a Jewish. When I Coleman, I said, and then you walked in, I said, you're really Coleman?
I apologize to the Jews.
Yeah. So yeah, if you got a name for a male Karen, you could text it to us at 260-9595. And coming up on the show next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us for that here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. You know, some of the best things ever are simple. Simplicity. And if you asked me what I thought was one of the greatest song lyrics of this generation, this past generation, whatever, in the last 25 years, you know what I would tell you? If everything could ever feel this real forever. I think that lyric in this song, Everlong by the Foo Fighters, one of the best ever. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlin hanging with you. And it's that time of our show where we look at the dumbest thing I read all morning.
One damn record of you doing that face and put it online.
Burglar forced to call the cops on himself when he got stuck in a window. Yeah, evidently this guy was somewhere he wasn't supposed to be, breaking in somewhere he wasn't supposed to be, and he got stuck in a window. And he was forced to call the emergency services on himself. While breaking into a home, he got stuck in a window. And this guy, this happened in England. And his name is Frederick Moulton.
You idiot!
In Swindon, England. He's 53 years old. And he was left suspended upside down when his leg got jammed while climbing through the window of a property he was breaking into in the middle of the night the other night.
Not a very nimble guy, is he?
No, he was unable to free himself despite thrashing around for some time, and eventually became so desperate that he called the cops on himself to ask them to help free him from the window he was stuck in of the house he was breaking into.
You know what's impressive about that? So here he is, his legs are stuck in the window, and he's dangling upside down for a while. And he's 53, yet he has the wherewithal to grab his phone and dial 911 and have a sort of reasonable conversation, you know?
That's why mobile phones, Coleman. That's why they're mobile.
I wonder what would have happened if the phone would have fell out of his pocket and he wouldn't be able to grab it.
The cops probably would have been able to catch him that way.
It's in England. He's saved, though, because the cops only carry, like, billy clubs or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. The bobbies. Carry the billies. The firefighters were the first to show up, and they realized it was obvious that Moulton had been trying to break into the house. So then the cops showed up after the firemen showed up, and hey, first responders, right? And then these police spokesperson over there said, "Well, trying to climb through a window, his leg became jammed, leaving him hanging upside down inside." As a result, he was forced to call the services and asked to be freed.
911, what's your emergency?
Kind of sucks when you have to call 911 because you're the problem. Usually when you call 911, you're calling it because somebody else is doing something and you're calling 911 on someone else. It sucks when you have to call 911 saying, I'm the one who you need to come and get because I got stuck in the window of the house that I was breaking into.
That's the cultural differences on the other side of the pond. Over here, we call the police because the ice cream machine is broke or we ran out of chicken nuggets. Over there, they call the police on themselves for committing crimes.
How about that? Well, the burglar forced to call the cops on himself when he got stuck in a window of a house that he was breaking into. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. I am a big, big, big Beastie Boys fan. Love the Beastie Boys. Always have. And tonight, they're going to be on Rick Rubin's podcast. This is the first time they're going to talk to Rick Rubin in 20 years. Now, Rick Rubin turned out to be one of the great record producers in music history. But when Rick Rubin started, he was a college student at New York University in Lower Manhattan. And that's when the Beastie Boys went into his dorm room. And that's where they first started making some music. And so Rick Rubin was instrumental in helping launch the Beastie Boys. And so, again, they haven't spoken in 20 years. And tonight, the Beastie Boys, well, the two who are left, Ad Rock and Mike D, they're going to be talking to Rick Rubin on his podcast on the radio.com app. If you haven't downloaded the radio.com app yet, do so. It's free. It don't cost nothing. And there's lots of good stuff. That's how you can listen to Bayou, our radio station, Bayou 95.7 as well, on the radio.com app. But I guarantee you that is going to be entertaining to listen to tonight. They're going to tell stories about way back in the day, about when they were broke and had no money. And now, look, they're multi-millionaires. But, boy, it all started way back when. So that's going to be tonight. On radio.com, it's on the Rick Rubin podcast called Broken Record. So listen for that tonight on radio.com. Just thought I'd give you something to listen to. If you like the Beastie Boys as much as I do, hey, it's our commercial free ride right now. We're in it here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.